You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me as always, the man, Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, bro?
Nothing much. Just enjoying this Monday morning. Monday, it's my favorite day of the week because I don't work until 7, and so I have most of the day to just kind of kick it. I actually got up and cleaned the kitchen.
Clean the kitchen.
Clean the kitchen.
You're the. You might be the only guy in America that enjoys Mondays. You know it. Most people I know. Most people I know like hate the Mondays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've heard that. But if you're a wrestling fan, especially if you started back in the '90s, or if the height of your wrestling fandom was back in the '90s, Monday was the day Raw came on.
That's true. And Nitro.
Yeah. So for me, that was always my day. Monday was my favorite day of the week. It wasn't the worst day of the week. It was the best day of the week.
That's a valid point. I guess maybe I should amend that to say most adults don't like Mondays. You know what I mean? Especially if you're not a wrestling fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you're not a wrestling fan, you probably hate Mondays. But at least the case of the Mondays.
Yeah, at least for 4 months out of the year on Mondays we get Monday Night Football. If you're not a wrestling fan, you know what I mean. If you're a wrestling fan, every Monday of the year, 51 weeks out of the year, or maybe even 52. Is there ever a Monday that we don't have Raw anymore? It used to get canceled for the dog show a couple times a year. Remember that?
Yeah, we get preempted for the dog show. It used to do that, but then it draws better than the dog show. And remember, like growing up, that last Monday in December was always a recap of the year, and they went away from that too. So now we get 52 new episodes of Raw every year.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I necessarily remember the recap.
Yes, it was like nine. It was like definitely before, right before the Attitude Era. That last Monday Night Raw of the year was just like the best in Raw of all year, and they would just show clips of Raw.
I got you.
That was the closest thing to a rerun that they would do.
Yeah, okay, I got you. I feel like I remember that. I was pretty young. My hardcore fandom started right like Attitude Era, so like right in the beginning of the Attitude Era, 97-98 time frame. So yeah, I'd have been real, real young, but it seems like I do remember that.
And that's when they kind of stopped doing it, when wrestling just got super popular. I mean, and people don't understand. If you're younger, of course, if you were born in 2000 or later, you don't understand. Wrestling was American Idol. It was hot. It was Survivor hot. It was like opening of Ted Day show and ESPN hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. There was
point in time everybody watched it.
Dude, there was, it talked about in the Monday Night Wars documentary. Have you watched all of that on the network?
I've watched most of those episodes. I think I've watched them all, but I've watched most.
It talked about how, there would be anywhere from 10 to 20 million people on Monday watching wrestling between Raw and SmackDown, if not more.
Yeah, and somebody like Stone Cold, he was just as popular. You talk about that crossover appeal. If he was managed better, he would be just as big as The Rock now.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. Yeah, if he would have, I don't know how open he would have been. I'm sure I'm sure he would have been at some point, but I think, you know, The Rock probably, like you said, he had some good management that kind of steered him to, like, hey, it looks like, you know, wrestling might not be as popular as it, you know, it looks like it might be declining, but there's definitely a place for you in Hollywood if that's what you want to do. And I think The Rock was probably like, yeah, let's go get that Hollywood money. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, because you get $20 million for 90 days of work and you don't have to take any of your own bumps.
Right, right. And, you know, and it's even inflated now. Remember, we've talked about it on the show several months ago, you and I did, but The Rock is making $65 million a movie.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
And like I said, he doesn't have to take his own bumps.
Now, of course,
I mean,
he literally
has a cousin that does all his stunts.
Right, right. Yeah, and, you know, obviously, The Rock is making that much because not only is he an actor, but the movies that he's making, that he's in, most of them are being made through his production company. I think it's called 7 Bucks Productions.
Yes.
And so, or six, but is it six or seven? I think it's seven, Bucks.
Seven. He only had $7 in his pocket.
Yeah. I thought that was, as a matter of fact, the reason that's so fresh on my mind is because I told my mother-in-law, Karen, who normally listens to the show in the morning time. So good morning, Karen. But I was telling her about it yesterday. I think it was when we were watching Monday Night Football last night, and The Rock had a commercial. He had a commercial for last night on the football game, the commercial for his new, like, Titan Games or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes, yes.
It kind of looks like a modernized, like, American Gladiators type thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so anyway, whenever that commercial came on, I was telling my mother-in-law, we had been talking earlier in the day about how when I graduate the academy, if everything goes right, I'm going to go on a tour wrestling in Japan and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, he's like a crossover star, Karen. I was like, this guy is, you know, when he signed his deal with JR and they went out to eat, he told JR, like, man, Jim, I would buy your lunch, but I've only got $7 to my name. But if you give me a couple years, I'm going to be the biggest star in the WWE. And I seen JR in an interview one time, you know, he said the same, he repeated that story, and he was like, you know, I had no reason not to believe him, you know, I just thought, you know, he was probably going to be a big success, but who could have imagined, you know, just how big of a success, you know? I don't think anyone on earth could have truthfully predicted, you know, just how big The Rock would be, you know?
And JR as you know, he was the talent guy for WWE. You
right.
know how many wrestlers probably told him they were going to be the biggest star ever?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, yeah, kid, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, any type of professional athlete, there's a certain level of ego that, you know, maybe not even you necessarily, you know, how should I word that? Like, you expect a certain level of ego from a professional athlete, and some people even say that you would have to have a certain level of ego to be a professional athlete, you know, because you have to be sure of yourself. You know, you can't be second guessing yourself and, you know, being in there and putting a 5-star match together, or, you know, trying to go 1-on-1 with LeBron James on the basketball court, or, you know, trying to defend Tom Brady. You know what I mean? You can't be second guessing yourself in those situations. So you expect a certain level of ego in being a professional athlete. So I'm sure, like you just said, that JR probably heard that several times in his career, you know?
Yeah, and just like, you know, every basketball player that can dunk really well says, I'm going to be the next Jordan. You know, every football player says, I want to be Tom Brady. Or if you're a pass rusher, you want to be Lawrence Taylor. It's just, that comes with the territory. But how many people say it and then do it? There's generally only one.
Yeah.
You know, like The Rock is so famous now, I'm betting a lot of his new fans don't even know he was a wrestler.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard people say that before. I think you might have even said it on the show before that, you know, you'd be willing to bet that there's a certain fan base out there of The Rock's that probably doesn't even know that he got his start in wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless someone's told him, you know, because they're from a certain age that, you know, because, I mean, he stopped wrestling full time. Like, I mean, he's made comebacks and stuff, but, I mean, 2003, 2004, right?
Yeah, and you know, you got to think about it. Some people's first impact or first introduction to The Rock, Fast and the Furious 5, because that was the first big blockbuster movie he was in.
Right.
I mean, because he was in Scorpion King, but I could see a certain amount of population not knowing in the Tooth Fairy and those Disney movies. Right. They might not even, you know, he was so much smaller, they might not even recognize it was him. But the movie that really put him back on the map was Fast Five.
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, if he stopped wrestling full time in 2004, you could be, 14? You could be almost driving age and not have ever, you know, seen that The Rock was a wrestler full time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's made comebacks. He went and he had a program with CM Punk and won the title and, you know, helped debut The Shield and stuff like that. He hosted WrestleMania 27. He main evented WrestleMania 28 and 29. But I mean, still, you know, hitting the towns every day, every single Monday, and working two or three house shows a week like he did in the late 90s and early 2000s. Like, you know, he just hasn't done that since 2003, 2004. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I said, if you were born in 2000, what, you were 4 when he quit wrestling? That's a good chance you don't even remember him wrestling.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, because, you know, like me, like, WrestleMania was when I was 4, and I remember watching it again when I got a little older, but when I watched it a few years ago, when I walked through all the WrestleManias, I didn't remember crap from WrestleMania other than what I had seen, you know, in replays and stuff, so... It is, like I said, you know, there's a good chance a lot of young people don't associate him with wrestling. They more associate with him with action movies than wrestling.
What's your favorite Rock movie, if you had to pick one?
My favorite Rock movie?
I kind of put you on the spot there.
I was about to say, that's like asking your favorite steak. All of them. No, my favorite Rock movie would probably be Cool. And he wasn't even a star of that movie.
You know, I hadn't even seen that, I don't think.
Yeah, it's guy John. He's John Travolta. He plays Vince Vaughn's sidekick. And the reason it was my favorite is it showed his range. He was very much, he wasn't like a big, you know, ass kicker guy. He was gay, first of all. He played a gay person. Then second of all, it was just, he was kind of flamboyant with it. And then it was just, it showed a range in him, a comedic timing in him that I didn't know he had. I love him in all the movies where he kind of plays against type. And then, of course, I love him in anything Fast and Furious because that's one of my favorite movie series ever.
Oh, really? The Fast and Furious series is?
Yeah. I know that. I seriously have seen all 7 of them, at least 5. I think the least amount is 5 times each.
Now, what is your thought process on the Tokyo Drift one, the one that doesn't, like, it doesn't fall in...
They ended up rounding it out to where it technically would have happened between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
But, at the time, I really liked it. I thought they were going a different place with it. Han, the Japanese guy, in the movie, is my favorite Fast and Furious character.
And he ends up, he dies at the end of that, right?
He dies at the end of that.
And then he comes back and he dies between 6 and 7, is that correct?
Technically, 4, 5, and 6 happen
before Tokyo Drift?
Yeah, so technically if you're going chronological, it's 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 3, and then 7.
Gotcha. One more thing I was going to ask you before we talk a little wrestling is, how'd your Chiefs do yesterday?
They won in dramatic fashion. Baltimore's the best defense in the NFL. Kansas City's the best offense in the NFL. Baltimore did run the ball a lot and keep time possession, keep Chiefs off the field. I actually thought at one point we were going to lose, and Patrick Mahomes did his Patrick Mahomes thing. And like yesterday, it was just like, last year, our quarterback was Alex Smith, and I loved Alex Smith. But the thing about Alex Smith, I always realized that there was a ceiling with him. And Patrick Mahomes, there's absolutely no ceiling. I will tell you this right now. yesterday, if Alex Smith was our quarterback, we lose that game.
Think because so? Because
the difference is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a
I'd
no
probably
look,
agree.
He did a no-look pass yesterday at the quarterback. He's looking right and throws it left. Then, fourth and I think it was eight, he runs around. They actually call the perfect defense, escapes, throws the ball up in the air, and Tyreek Hill catches it. It's not a play Alex Smith would have, could have. He wouldn't have tried to make it, but he couldn't have made it. It's just Patrick Mahomes is just adds that extra something that people just don't have.
He's a beast, man. He is an absolute beast. No doubt about it. What is your thought on what's his face, the former Heisman winner that is taking over for that's taking over for Joe Flacco that started the game yesterday?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar
good.
Jackson, yeah, from Louisville.
Yeah, he's just got to learn how to play quarterback. Right now, he's a running back that throws a lot, but you know he has to learn how to play quarterback. He's not very accurate at times, but I think with tutelage, he will get there.
You think so?
Yeah, let me ask you a question. How you feel about back-to-back Heismans for your OU Sooners?
Man, I couldn't be happier about it. Dude, I'll say something. Like, I was honestly thinking a little bit. I was like, man, if Kyler wins, I think it's going to kind of diminish what people think about Baker. But I don't think that so much anymore. I was just kind of thinking that throughout the season. But, you know, by the end of the year, I was like, dude, this Kyler kid, he deserves this Heisman more than anything. And I think that if he was 6'2 instead of 5'9, 5'10, he would be first overall pick, hands down.
Well, I still think he would be a very high draft pick. I mean, with the people like Drew Brees, Baker Mayfield being successful in the NFL, I mean, I think the whole idea of having to be a certain height is going away. It's just what you go to the NFL, you know, potentially get drafted, or you go take this guaranteed money you have in Major League Baseball.
Right.
It's going to be a tough decision for him.
Yeah, and I expect that he's going to go play baseball just because, you know, and because I think you're right. I think, you know, anymore you don't have to be 6'3 to play quarterback. I think Drew Brees and Baker have both proved that, especially Drew Brees. But if you look at Drew Brees, a lot of his throws have to come from his tippy toes, and he's got to arch his head back and kind of look at an angle. And you figure with Kyler, you would be taking 3 more inches off of Drew Brees. And so I think that the height thing is going away, but I think there's still a cutoff right now. And I think 5'9 is just, man, that's mighty small. And you figure on top of that, him being a mobile quarterback, taking a hit from, I mean, imagine Khalil Mack at 6'4", 285, or however big, you know, Khalil Mack is. Imagine him squaring up and going at Kyler Murray full force. I mean, I feel like he'd break him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you never know. You know, Mel Kiper Jr. said that Kyler Murray would still be a late first-round pick. You know, even with his size, he would still go in the first round. So, you know, like you said, it's a tough decision for him. I don't envy him at all. I personally, you know, and I'm wrong all the time. This is just my personal opinion. You know how we always say on this show, this is an opinion show. We're not always playing with facts here. This is our opinion, you know. And my opinion is that he'll probably go play baseball. And that's just my opinion.
If I was his dad, that's what I would tell him to go do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot safer. I mean, at the same time, you know, a player of his caliber, you know, he may be thinking in the back of his head, like, I know I can go play baseball, but I want that challenge of going and playing in the NFL. And you can't blame him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't blame him, someone that is that competitive. You got to be competitive to be, you know, a D1 football player winning the Heisman and having a chance 2 games away from the national championship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing about baseball, the thing I say about baseball, first of all their money is guaranteed.
Right.
That's a big thing.
Yes.
And the second of all, every team he's such an elite athlete, every team's going to think, let's say he doesn't succeed the first team, some other team's going to think they can rehabilitate him. You're going to get a lot more chances in baseball. You can play minor league baseball and still make good money.
Right, right.
And as far as the NFL, you're like literally like one hit, one someone hitting your knee or something away from your career being over, and their contracts aren't guaranteed. I'm just like, I've always said if I had a kid, I'm going to let him play what he wants. But if he just turns out that he wants to play baseball, I will be all behind that. Because the after career of baseball is so much longer than any other sport.
Yeah, I totally agree.
When baseball players die young, it's because of car accidents, boat accidents, stuff like that. When football players die young, it could be natural causes.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. And, you know, the last thing I want to say about it is, you know, he can go play baseball for 5 years, and if he feels like he wants to go back and play football, he's still got that opportunity to go back and possibly try to play. Because, what's his face? It's down in Houston right now, Brandon Whedon from OSU. He did the same thing. He played minor league baseball and got up to AAA with the Yankees at 27. He decided, I think he was 26 or 27 years old, he decided either I'm not going to make it to the majors or I still want to go play football, whatever it was. He goes, he plays a couple years at OSU, wins a co-Big 12 national championships, drafted in the first round by the Browns, plays for the Cowboys for a while, and then finds a home down in Houston, making $500,000 a year, been a starter for a couple different teams in a couple different seasons. I mean, having a pretty decent career. But then again, you know, he's also like 6'2", 6'3", so.
Yeah, well, let me give you a weird scenario.
Okay.
When Kyler Murray finishes out the semester at OU, right?
Yeah.
Goes and plays baseball, right? Decides he wants to give football another shot. You know Kyler Murray still has one more year of eligibility?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
So he could literally go play baseball, come back and play his technical senior year back at OU.
Yeah.
He could win two Heismans 5 years apart.
That's true, man. He actually could. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I can come back and play football again. No, but, you know, he's one of those competitors. He's one of those great players that, you know, he can disguise the limit for him. So I wish him the best. And good luck against Alabama, because that's going to hurt.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game, but. Man, can you imagine what that crowd is going to be like if OU puts away Alabama? For Christmas a few years ago, me, my wife, and my sister-in-law got my in-laws, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, tickets to the Sugar Bowl to go in New Orleans to go see Alabama and OU. And this is when we had Trevor Knight as our starting quarterback. It was Baker had just transferred over. He had just walked on at OU after he left Texas Tech. And he had not gained his year of eligibility yet, so he was unable to play. So Trevor Knight was still the starter, and everyone, I don't think there was a single person that had picked OU to win. And they go down there and win, I think, by like 21 points and won the Sugar Bowl. And it was so cool because my mother-in-law and father-in-law got to be there. And it was really cool. It was really cool. So, OU definitely has a chance. You know what I mean? I don't think there's any chance that we're going to stop them, stop their offense. But I think that our offense has a pretty good shot at putting a bunch of points on the board at the very least. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and my big thing is everyone. My looking at that and remembering that game, it's like, you know, Alabama's going to remember it, because OU fans keep pointing out that they beat Alabama 3 times in a row, and, you know, OU stomped Alabama in that game.
Right.
I was like, yeah, Nick Saban remembers.
Nick Saban is one of the greatest college coaches in the history of football, so I don't think he's probably remembers every single loss he's ever had.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, and anybody that even remotely thinks there's a chance that Nick Saban's not going to coach with a little chip on his shoulder. Yeah, you're not paying attention.
All right, man. So, first wrestling topic this morning. At something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard show the other day, the special live guest was your boy Cody Rhodes. Cody said to the live crowd that he turned down a WWE offer weeks ago. This is according to WrestlingInc.com. And my question, I have a couple questions for you regarding that. So you read this, right? That Cody said that he turned down the WWE offer weeks ago?
Yes.
My question for you is, do you think that him turning down a WWE offer and all that money that they probably offered him, do you think that this is a sign that All Elite Wrestling will for sure be a thing? Or is this more of a sign that the independent wrestling scene in America right now is flourishing?
All Elite Wrestling is 100% going to be a thing.
Think so?
I think. I'm 100% sure it's going to be a thing. Now, will it be a new promotion? I don't know. Will it be the name of, like, their production company that they produce these super shows every year on? Like, they do 3 or 4 super shows a year. Maybe, you know, or it could be just a full-on promotion. But All Elite Wrestling's happening. Cody's spending time in box offices with the cons. They've registered the names. They registered all the names. People aren't putting that, you know, I mean, even though it's not a lot of money to him, but people aren't putting the money for the trademarks down. If it's not going to happen, it's going to be a big announcement. And I just, like I said, I think it's 100% sure it's going to happen. Now, as far as Cody turning the offer down, I was sure he was. He had just went on record too many times of saying that he can, you know, wrestling is like being a musician, and he's going to play his music and people are going to like it or not like it. And he even said, you know, he couldn't even, the idea of going to the WWE where, you know, you just show up and perform. And, you know, you have to do it the way they want to do it, say the way they want to say it. He said he couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he even said, how about if you just had one of the agents in there giving input? He's like, I don't even think I can do that.
Yeah.
So the WWE would have had to completely change the way they do things for one person to sign him. And we've known in the past WWE doesn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when he was on the Jericho show with the Young Bucks, and he said, you know, maybe if I went back, if they would be very loose and just give me a time, a length of the match time, and a finish, maybe I could work with that. And one of the Young Bucks, I think it was Nick Jackson, was like, I don't even think I could do that.
Yeah.
So, man, how much money do you think they offered him that he turned down? Any idea?
I'd say he got at least AJ money, so I'd say 3 to 5 a year.
What? Guaranteed?
Yeah.
He turned that down?
Yeah.
I'd be interested if he really got offered that much. That's a lot of money, man.
I mean, he's bigger than AJ was at that time. Just think about what AJ was at the time of being the leader of the Bullet Club and what the Bullet Club is now.
Right, right.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
And they offered AJ, I think it was like, the number I've always heard is $3 million downside.
Yeah. Man, so that's a lot of money.
So think, Cody's bigger than that right now. Cody's a bigger draw. He's been part of the main reason the 10,000 seat arena sold out.
Right.
You know, a lot of even though they weren't on the marquee, a lot of people still give the Elite and the Young Bucks credit for help selling out the ROH NJPW show.
Right.
Because most people assume they're going to be on the show anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm buying my ticket assuming they're going to be on the show.
Right, right.
So it's just like they're draws. And the WWE, that's right now, they consider themselves that they don't have any elite stars right now. Jim Ross said right now, he doesn't think any person on the roster has the momentum to main event WrestleMania 35.
Really?
He said it. Yeah, yeah. He said he didn't think anybody on the roster has the momentum to main event WrestleMania 35. Cody Rhodes has the momentum to main event WrestleMania 35.
Ah, oh, man, I don't know. That's a tall order, man. That's
but I'm just saying. Order. I'm not saying he's going to come in. But his name is so big in the wrestling world, people know who he is. And the last name Rhodes still means something.
Right.
It means something to 60 and 70-year-olds. It means something to 20 and 30-year-olds. You know, it's a cross-generational name. So I think if they really wanted to, he could have main evented that. I know Uncle Vince won't, or Grandpa Vince or whatever won't let that happen. But he's a big enough name to.
Yeah. Do you think if the WWE approached the Young Bucks and the Young Bucks decided to sign whenever Cody was offered that money or offered that position, knowing that the Young Bucks had signed, do you think he would have signed to go with them?
I think they are 100% honest that it was going to be a group decision. If the Young Bucks had gotten like a deal where they were getting $5 million downside a piece, so like $10 million a year for their tag team, and maybe a guarantee that they would never be broken up as a tag team, they would always be a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
I think they probably would have took it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's in wrestling terms, that's FU money. That's Roman Reigns money.
Right. Right.
Just think about all them, you know, then the Young Bucks with the WWE team, they would have sold a shit ton of merch. So $5 million would have been their downside. They would have probably made closer to 7.5 to 10 a year.
Man, that is insane.
And they just had to wrestle.
Yeah, that is absolutely insane.
So you just think about that. If you think about that, yeah, they would have took it. I mean, maybe I don't know anything. This is an opinion show. I don't know Nick or Matt. At all. They don't know me from Adam. So, but I'm just saying, when you get to those numbers, like in baseball, $40 million a year is I'll play for whatever team you want. In football, it's $20 million for a defender, $30 million for baseball. I think the number in wrestling is $5 million a year, right? It's like $5 million a year will get you wherever you want. $10 million a year is the FU money. $10 million a year is like, what do you want me to lose to? You want me to lose to 6-7-year-old Barry Horowitz every week? I'll do it. $10 million a year. And I'll do whatever you tell me to. I'll go out there and lose to Zack Ryder every week if you tell me to. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's just at that point, because that is enough money where it's more like you wrestle. Let's say you get that for a 3-year deal or a 5-year deal. You don't have to wrestle anymore after you're done for that much money.
Yeah.
If you're smart with it. So I think the WWE made a very lucrative offer. I just think Cody Rhodes is at this point in his career. First of all, he's still fairly young. That he right now, he just wants to do things his way. Now he gets to 38 to 40 to the AJ Styles age. He'll probably take the check.
If the check's still on the table, right?
I guess every act cools off, but it seems like the Bullet Club, the Elite right now, they don't really make bad decisions when it comes to their career. Everything they do hits.
Yeah, so far so good, right?
Yeah, it's just like they haven't had a stinker yet. They haven't had, like, oh, we're going to do this and it fails. I mean, he's selling out cigars. He just puts his name on cigars, and they're selling more cigars than they ever had in their life. Just think, I mean, they're the Beatles of wrestling. They really are. And I really don't think you've seen anything like this, because, you know, you've had NWO and DX is great, but these are five guys that are pretty much, you know, they don't really tie their acts together. Cody works on his own. The Bucks work on their own. Kenny Omega works on their own. But they can literally put the Elite name and that brand and anything on it, and it's going to sell out. Look at the pro wrestling tees, the top 10 shirts. Like 6 or 7 are the Elite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They can literally put their name on anything.
I wonder how much a year just from t-shirt sales the Bucks and Cody are making.
I would say quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
I would say in the millions. I'd say the Bucks make at least $3 million a year.
Yeah.
I think, just on shirts.
Yeah, and I wouldn't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
The meet and greets, all that kind of stuff, they're pulling in bank.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Like I said, I think Cody got a very lucrative offer, and I think he respectfully declined because he wants to do his own thing. So, one, two. So, I'm looking at the top selling items of the week. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. So, they put up the top 12. Eight of the top 12 are the elite.
For ProWrestlingTees.com?
Yeah.
That is absolutely insane, dude. These guys, they're on fire, man.
They got this shirt. It's literally Elite Dogs. It's got Pharaoh, Winston, and the Hangman's dog. So it's those three dogs playing poker, and it's in the top 12 of selling tees. It's their dogs.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it.
They can do what they want. They can slap their name on condoms and they would sell out.
Yeah, I don't doubt it, man. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. Last topic we're going to talk about today, my man. And that is, over the weekend, Wrestle Kingdom 13's card was released. At least if Wrestle Kingdom 13 was tomorrow, this would be the card. Now,
but this barring injury or anything.
Yeah,
like
barring injury. This is the January 4th show, correct? Isn't it January 4th every year?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and dude, I'm not going to lie. I've heard different people say different things. Some people are really looking forward to the main event. Some people are kind of like, there's other people. There's a different person that I'd put up against Kenny Omega. But no, man, I am so looking forward to this match because it's the old guard taking on the new guard for the IWGP heavyweight title, and that's the best bout machine, Kenny Omega, taking on Hiroshi Tanahashi. And, dude, I love Tanahashi, man. What do you think about this main event?
The closest thing I can compare it to is Sean and Brett.
Okay.
Because Brett was the technical wrestler of excellence execution. Shawn Michaels was the new energetic pretty boy that did the high flying moves and the super kicks. And, you know, when they wrestled, it wasn't like when they were talking, it wasn't like, hey, we're going to wrestle and I want to beat you. It was like, I don't like you. And that is what it comes down to. That is why I'm very interested in the Tanahashi Omega phase, because they might actually be friends, but they do a really good job of making it seem like they hate each other.
They do. They absolutely do.
Like, on a personal level, like, I don't like you. I don't like how you wrestle. I don't like anything about you. And then Kenny Omega's like, you're old.
Next, you know what I just noticed? We'll talk about that here in a second. The next match on the list, which would either be the semi or the co-main event, whatever you want to call it, is the IWGP Intercontinental Championship match, and that's the champion Chris Jericho taking on Tetsu Naito. This is going to be a badass match, dude. Is it not?
Yeah, it is going to be a great match. I am looking forward to this quite a bit. Jericho, he is a completely different character in New Japan than he is in the WWE, or, you know, like that. His indie character and his WWE character are completely different, and he really does play this crazy type, Terry Funk type character to Naito, who is supposed to be cool, calm, and relaxed. And I just, tranquilo all the way. So definitely it's going to be a fun match to have, especially in Japan. And it's like, Jericho's a draw. Jericho makes Americans turn on the TV.
Yep. Do you think if Naito wins this match, is he going to go back to beating up the Intercontinental belt again like he used to? Remember, because he has no respect for the title. The only title he has respect for is the heavyweight title.
Yeah, I think we might get that. I think we might get that a little bit more, but I don't think he's going to turn the title away. Kevin Kelly did a good job. I was watching the World Tag League final before I was talking to you this morning, and he does a good job of saying Naito doesn't care about this belt. He does care about beating Chris Jericho on the biggest stage possible.
I like it. I like it. Another match that's on there is the Never Open Weight Championship, and that's the champion Kota Ibushi taking on Will Ospreay.
And that was actually set up at the World Tag League final.
How so?
Will Ospreay beat Taichi to become the number one contender for the Never Open belt, and then Ibushi beat Goto for the Never Open Weight title.
Nice. So that's where,
and then Ospreay came out after the Ibushi match and challenged him for the match, the dream match at Wrestle Kingdom on January 4th.
Nice. Another match that I've heard, or I've read some people complaining about, but another match that I'm kind of interested in seeing is Jay White taking on Kazuchika Okada. What do you think about that?
Jay White is my favorite heel in wrestling right now.
Your favorite in all of wrestling right now?
Yeah, he's my favorite heel because he is one of those. He is what heels used to be. He is despicable. There is nothing to like about him. He has his group, but you can tell he's just using his group. He literally is. He will use anyone that helps him get ahead.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and this Okada match, I hate Okada, but hey, he got me on, you know, January 4th show. You go after the, you know, if you're not getting a title, you go after the biggest fish possible.
Right, right. A couple of things. So there's several more matches on here. We have IWGP Tag Team Champions, the Junior Tag Team Champions, the Junior Heavyweight Championship. The British Heavyweight Championship, which is Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. Where is this British Heavyweight Championship title coming from?
It's RevPro. They have a working relationship with RevPro.
Okay.
The last couple champions have been Ishii and Minoru Suzuki. Now they're building up Zack Sabre Jr. He's been the British champion before, but they're building up Zack Sabre Jr. to wrestle Ishii now.
Got you. And the big thing I was going to ask about this, is, according to this, I don't see it on here anyway, and that's the IWGP United States champion, Cody, having a match with anybody. What?
I don't know why it's not, on there, but yeah, it's been announced. Cody versus Juice.
And it's going to be Juice Robinson, that's who Cody beat to become the champion, right?
Yep. Cody is the belt maker. What they do is they put the title on him. They put the title on him to make it more popular, and then he generally gives it back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've done that once. I don't know how much popular he's going to make that U.S. title after Kenny Omega had it for a year, you know?
He was supposed to be defending it all this time, but unfortunately he got hurt on, like, one of his first defenses.
Right.
Like the night before his first defense, he got hurt doing nothing, so he hasn't been able to defend it. So it's like he's really supposed to have been defending it a lot, but he hasn't really had a chance to.
Right. The last match that I will mention on here is this a three-way for the Tag Team Championships? The Gorillas of Destiny, Evil taking on Evil and Sonata, taking on the Young Bucks. So, yeah, it's a triple threat match here.
People have been bitching a lot about this on the internet.
Really? This is not something that New Japan generally does, is three-way matches, is it?
No, it's not. More than likely, if they just did the World Tag League, the Young Bucks would have just won it. But the Young Bucks decided to take World Tag League off so they could spend more time with their family.
Gotcha.
And, you know, they still want them on the show, so Sonata and Evil actually won the World Tag League, and they're guaranteed the title shot, and the Young Bucks came out and kind of challenged them to be a part of the match, so now it's going to be a three-way. So a lot of the IWC, Internet Wrestling Community, for people that in the know, are very upset because they're like, what was the point of this month-long or whatever-long tournament if you were just going to give the Young Bucks a shot anyway?
Right. I'm also seeing that the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match is also a three-way as well, which I find is kind of weird.
Well, and you know, you got to think about it like this way. Wrestle Kingdom is their WrestleMania, right?
Right.
It's a way to get everybody on the show. You know,
I got
you got to get everybody, you know, you got to get as many people as you can on the show as possible. You know, so you do a couple more through six-man tags than you normally would have. You know, I mean, they got, what, one, two, three, four, five singles? Six singles matches.
Yeah, one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, six singles matches. You're right.
They got six singles matches and two tag matches. I wouldn't be so shocked if there's not another match on here. I don't know what it would be.
Oh, well, yeah, it would be seven with Cody taking on Juice. It would be seven singles matches because it's not listed right here.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot of matches. That's WrestleMania style, right? Everyone getting on the card, lots of matches. All in all, I think this is going to be an awesome show. This will only be my second Wrestle Kingdom. I got into New Japan last year around this time. And, you know, I was one of those guys that got into it because Chris Jericho made the jump and was having a huge match with Kenny Omega. And that was my first introduction, if you will, into New Japan. And I've been pretty addicted ever since, and I think there is quite a few Americans that are in the same boat as I am, I feel like.
Yeah, I started with Omega and Okada. That was my first year, so I was just like a year before you.
Yeah, so that would have been, let's see, that'd have been 16 or no, that'd have been 2017.
Yeah, because I watched Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Gotcha, yeah. And I watched, my first one was 12, and this one is 13. So, yeah.
So, I watched 11, 12. This will be my third one. So, I'm really looking, you know, I'm looking forward to it as is. We generally get, some people over my house. It's actually on a Friday. So, I think it generally starts about 2 our time. So, I will, be at home watching some wrestling, eating some nuggets, you know, that kind of thing.
You gonna take the day off?
I generally take that morning off.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I dig it, man.
Next year I don't have to take it off because it's on a Saturday.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You can plan ahead because you know it's on January 4th every year. That's pretty cool that they do it like that.
It's like July 4th for us. It is it's like their Independence Day, Christmas, New Year's, all in one.
Wow, I dig it. Well, Floyd, my man, why don't you tell everybody where you spend your weekends at?
Well, we just dropped some hot fire yesterday on the chairshot.com. My show is called Around the Ring, so you can definitely still go listen to it. It's me and my friend Ryan as we discuss the week in wrestling. So definitely check that out if you can. You can go Facebook or Twitter.com, Surround the Ring OK, and send us any questions you may have. But just represent, make sure you go to thechairshot.com and listen to all the podcasts that they have available on there.
Absolutely. I was actually listening to you and Ryan talk. I was listening to y'all break the story about Big Cass when I was getting ready. Excuse me, I had a little tickle in my throat there, but I was listening to y'all break the news about Big Cass at the House of Hardcore show. I'll mention that real quick for anybody that hasn't read that yet. He had a seizure at intermission of the House of Hardcore show. We'll talk about it some more tomorrow. Hopefully some more information comes out as far as we know, he's doing okay. That's what Tommy Dreamer tweeted out last night, that he spoke to him and he's A-okay, so we'll probably talk about that before we get into Raw tomorrow. So, but Floyd, as always, I truly appreciate you doing the show with me each and every morning. I learn something from you every single day, as always. For everyone that tuned in, I hope y'all had a good weekend. Thank y'all for tuning in each and every single day like you always do. For Floyd and myself, we hope everyone stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?